In the gospel reading, Christ addresses the question of what must I do to be saved? And as we see from the gospel reading itself, what we must do to be saved is directly connected with what it means to be saved. In other words, how it is that we live the life as a believer. And earlier this week, on Tuesday, the epistle reading addressed this question as well. And it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." And there's two important things in that opening section of this passage. One is as we should no longer live for ourselves, but for God. That's what the gospel reading was all about. And the rich young ruler had it down to some extent. Christ covered the commandments that relate with how we are supposed to deal with God and also with one another. But there was one thing this man lacked, and that was that he loved the riches that he had, and he wasn't quite prepared to give it all up to God. And we have to understand, if we really are servants of Christ, that everything we have belongs to God. And if we're not willing to give that up, then there's something that's lacking. Also, when it says that we know no man after the flesh, and it talks about even knowing Christ after the flesh, what that phrase means is knowing people in a worldly manner. And he says, of course, that even people knew Christ after a worldly manner, but we need to know people in a spiritual manner is the point that he's making. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." To be saved doesn't just mean that when we die, we go to heaven. It's something that we begin to experience in this life. It's something that requires a change. It's not just saying magic words and asking Christ to come into your heart, as some Protestants would put it to you, and then you're done, and all you got to do is cheer on the preacher every Sunday as he tells other people the gospel message. That's not the gospel. Salvation means that we begin to live a changed life now. It's not something that happens instantaneously in the sense that we go from being a horrible sinner to becoming a great saint. It's something that we have to work out. St. Paul says elsewhere that we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But it is something that results in a change. And so if we don't see a change, then we're not seeing that new creation. We're not seeing salvation working its way out in our life. Also, of course, as he said earlier, it's not a life that's lived selfishly, just like worldly people. There should be a difference between the way we live our lives as believers and the way that people who don't know God live their life. Not that we should look down on them, but nevertheless, there should be something that they notice in us that's different. St. Paul continues, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." What St. Paul is saying is that God came looking for us to reconcile us with him, despite the fact that it was we who were in sin. It was we that by our sins offended God and brought about that separation of ourselves with God. And so it should have been the other way around. It should have been us that went seeking after God, but instead God came looking for us. He took the first step to reconcile us to him. And then St. Paul says that we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes people ask, well, what is my gift in the church? What is my ministry? What does God want me to do? Well, there's a broad ministry that all of us have, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be reconciled with those around us, and we are to reconcile those, that even those people that we don't know, to God. It's a twofold process. removing any enmity we might have with them, and also helping them to reconcile themselves to God. And it's an important lesson when we look at Christ's example for our own selves, because very often we become estranged to those that we are in contact in this life. Something happens, something's done, some words are said, something offends us, and then we don't want to have anything else to do with that person, or at least the relationship is not what it used to be. But if we're following the example of Christ, we don't wait for the other person, who may be the one who is more to blame. We don't wait for them to come asking for our forgiveness, but instead we proactively go out and try to reconcile them to us, again, even if they're more in the wrong. And of course, when we're talking about people who are all sinners, there's usually not 100% of blame to fall on one person and 0% on the other. It's usually a mix. But generally speaking, there might be one person who's more to blame than the others. And so we might feel somewhat justified in not going to that person, not asking for their forgiveness of that percentage of blame that is our fault, or showing them that we love them and are prepared to forgive them. But if we're following the example of Christ, that's exactly what we'll do. St. Paul continues, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him, that is Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now St. Paul is addressing the church of Corinth in this reading. And of course, there are some issues that some of the people in that church have with St. Paul, and issues that they have with each other. So that's why St. Paul is saying, be reconciled to God. And he talks about how he is an ambassador for Christ, and that it was as if God was beseeching them through St. Paul. But that, again, is the ministry of reconciliation that we all have. We are all ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is somebody who has the power to act in the place of the person that sends them as an ambassador to work out treaties and to bring about peace between one country and another. And so that's the job that we have as ambassadors of the King of Kings, to work to bring about peace between those around us and God. The following verse, which actually is not in the Tuesday reading, it's in a Saturday reading that is yet to be read, but nevertheless it's the verse that follows, and so there is a connection. St. Paul says, "We then as co-workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." We've received forgiveness from God. God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And God has given us a job to do, and that's to be agents of reconciliation, to show the love of God to others, to show that forgiveness, to be reconciled to them, and by that, reconciling them to God. And if we fail to do that, if we fail to do our jobs, then we will have received the grace of God in vain, because we can't. The grace of God cannot abide in our hearts if it's not flowing through us. If it's not flowing out to those that we've had problems with, and if we're not actively forgiving them. Our life is not our own, as the epistle began. Our priority is to fulfill the ministry that God's given us to do. So let us work together with him, cooperate with him, and not receive the grace of God in vain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.